Lotties, welcome to another episode of the Sacred Cocoon podcast. This is Lottie and I will be your host. So welcome to October. I'm really excited because on October 1st when I woke up I felt this big shift and big change. Like it felt really different in the air, and I don't know if you experienced that too. I'd be curious to hear, but for me I definitely felt this like change and shift. And so it definitely feels like it's getting to be fall now, or autumn. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready. I'm ready for it to be that perfect autumn weather where you can wear sweaters, but you can still wear your cute dresses. And it's just a good look. I like the autumn aesthetic, I guess. So it's funny because, like, coming from England and you know, I've lived in America for nearly 4 years now, but in England it's already autumn by now, you know, like the leaves have changed, are changing, and they have changed, and like you can definitely feel it. It feels cooler, it feels like autumn by this time in England, but here in America it still feels like summer. So I mean the air is starting to cool down, and there's definitely been some days that's like, oh yeah, it's definitely autumn weather, but it feels way different to me. And so I think for me my body tends to be like, we hit September, it's autumn, which is very English. Like it is in England, it's like you hit September, it probably is autumn by then. Whereas here, it takes a bit longer, and we get into October, and it's still summery. But it's coming. I'm excited, and I believe that it is coming. So we're just going to keep saying that. Come on, autumn. Okay, so besides that, what else do I have to tell you about? I just wanted to fill you in on a couple things before we get going, and then also, you know, do my little plug before we get into the episode too, so that we kind of have it done and then we can just get on a roll. So this month, I feel like this month is going to be busy, but in a good way. On the 26th, some of my fellow readers from the Four of Wands and I will be reading at the Halloween in the Hollow, I think that's what it's called, Halloween in the Hollow, Crystal Bridges Halloween Party. And if you don't know what Crystal Bridges is, it is an art museum in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I'm really excited because I've never read at like a big party like this before, and I'm excited. I'm a little nervous because it's going to be a lot of people. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm feeling good, feeling excited. Just to let you know that on the Friday before that, so the 25th, I will not be at the shop, because on the 26th, which is the Saturday, I'm gonna have a super long day because I'm gonna be reading at the shop as normal, and then I'm gonna be going from that, have a little break, and then go to Crystal Bridges, and then be reading from 9 until 9:30. So yeah, I really need that Friday to just collect myself and just get ready and rest and all of that good stuff. So it'll be the only Friday that I can, you know, foresee that I won't be at the shop. But other than that, my hours will be normal every Friday and Saturday at the Four of Wands. Come see me. let's sling some cards, let's look at the cards together, see what's coming up for you. Yeah, so what else is there? I have been reading A Discovery of Witches. So I've heard about this book over and over again, and Melissa, who runs the shop, really loves it, and I've heard from some other people too that they really love it, and there's a show of it, but I didn't want to watch the show before I read the books. And Melissa has lent me the books, so I'm enjoying those. I don't know how to describe it. I like it. It's fun. Like, it almost feels a bit like Twilight, and I don't mean that in like a bad way. I know there's probably people that are like, but that's kind of like what I would compare it to, I suppose. It's kind of like that mix between, I guess, like technically maybe young adult, but not quite, because it has some like more sexy kind of themes in it. And it's fantasy, you know, it's vampires and witches and demons and or daemons, and things like that. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's really fun. And I'm looking right at it. And I'm trying to think what I was going to say. Yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. What else? I'm getting a new tattoo on Monday, which I'm super excited about. Because once you get tattoos, you always want more tattoos. this will be my 1, 2, 3. Hang on, I've got to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that it? 5. Do I only have 5? Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, I currently have 5 tattoos. So this will be my 6th. And I'm really excited. It's going to be up in Missouri. So Chelsea and I are going to travel for that. And she's getting a piece done by an artist that she's really liked for a long time too. So yeah, I'm excited. And I'm extra excited because the design that I'm getting is actually a piece by a good friend of mine, Sean, who is on Instagram as Gender Gems. So if you know Sean, then you know how awesome they are. If you don't, go check them out. I love Sean, and I'm really, really excited to have their art on my body. And yeah, it's just gonna be, it feels like it's gonna feel really personal to me. It also feels really like it's gonna be great protection. It's gonna be a protective tattoo for me, so I feel really good about it. I'm excited. I'm adding to my, it's going on my right arm, so it's going on my what's becoming a sleeve of like made up of different pieces, but it's my nature arm. I've got my triple moon on there with the space theme. I've got my snail, I've got my bumblebee, so yeah, this is gonna fit in perfectly there. Really excited about it. And then what else have I got to tell you? I feel like I have something else, but I don't remember what it is. Nope, don't remember. Okay, he'll come back to me. Other than that, for readings, so I want to be completely honest, September was a really slow month for me in terms of readings online. I actually didn't get a single reading booked throughout September in my Etsy shop at all, which is really unusual. And I always want to be transparent about things like this, because I think there's a lot of online things, and with online businesses, it's like, oh yeah, we put like a glossy kind of glittery front on it, and then we don't talk about what's actually going on behind the scenes, you know. And I want to be able to share with you guys like what it's actually like to run an online business, and sometimes it's super slow. So yeah, it was really slow. I would like to get some more readings this month because I've missed it. And that's what this episode is actually going to talk about, how to read for people in different ways, different styles, and also probably a little bit of like the pros and cons of doing that, of each style. So that's what's coming up. But yeah, if you would like to book a reading with me online, you can do it through my Etsy. So most of my readings I do either audio recorded, and then I send it to you with pictures of the cards so that you can listen to it and look at them and go back to it as many times as you want, or it's via the phone, either as a phone call or a text. So if you'd like to do that, you can see all the different types of readings I have to offer at thesacredcocoon.etsy.com. And then if you contact me either through Instagram, which is where I am mostly, so that's at The Sacred Cocoon, or on Facebook, which is again The Sacred Cocoon, if you contact me through that and we set up like a private, instead of going through Etsy, so if we do it either through PayPal and I send you an invoice, or you know, a money request, whatever, or we do it through Venmo, I will take 10% off the price that you see in Etsy. So Etsy takes 10% of the total sale once everything's said and done, which is wild. But yeah, so I've had to like adjust prices in the shop in order to reflect that, but anything that you see in the shop if you contact me personally, how else would you contact me? That's a weird way to say that. If you contact me, you know, through social media instead and let me know that you want to book it, we can do that through there instead. And I will take 10% off the price to reflect that, because I get more. Those other ways take less of a percentage, so I adjust the price accordingly. Take a breath. All right. There we go. All right. I start going fast sometimes, and I get too fast. Just slow down. Slow down, Lottie. Slow down. All right. Okay, so having said all of that, let's get into what we want to actually talk about today, which is, like I said, talking about different ways to do readings, and like the pros and cons, things to think about for each different type. So I have been reading for a million years. No. this is my 16th year of reading for other people, so reading tarot, oracle, those are my main ways of doing it, and nowadays I mostly do tarot, just because it's my comfortable place. Oracle I love, but I love the shared archetypes of tarot, and so I like being able to read tarot so that people can kind of go away and look up that archetype, and you know, if you say you get the Hermit and that's your main card, then you can go home and look at that and delve into, look at the Hermit, and you kind of like research it yourself, and I feel like it makes the reading deeper. I like to give homework, if you didn't know that already. but it's fun homework. That's why I like tarot the best. And also you can find a lot of information about tarot online. You don't actually have to have the deck, whereas with oracle decks, because they're all different from each other, it's like you either have to have that deck, or it has to be one that's close, that's, you know, big enough maybe to be able to find information on it online, and things like that. That was one other thing that I wanted to tell you all about. I knew I was forgetting something. I am going to be teaching tarot classes at the Four of Wands in November. Planning for November. It's going to be a six class course in tarot, and it's going to be looking at, we're going to use the Rider-Waite-Smith system, and we're going to look at how to read tarot. We're going to go through the majors, the minors. We're also going to look at reading intuitively, we're going to have lots of fun. I'm planning my worksheets right now, and I'm trying to, you know, think of things to make it really fun, and get us reading intuitively and not feeling scared of the cards. And yeah, come along, you know, well, send us an email or drop me a message, you know, if you're interested. Price and things like that, we're still deciding, and time and things like that, so we're still ironing those things out, but it's looking like November. It's going to be, you know, small, nice sized classes, it's going to be a good place to make friends and read for each other, and it's kind of going to be a little bit of mixing, a little bit of like the tarot salons with also learning tarot, so feeling more confident in tarot and all of that. So I'm really excited about that, wanted to share that with you. But anyway, back to the topic. So reading for, where was I? Wow, I'm just kind of scattered today, I'm sorry. So reading for others. Oh yeah, that's it, thank you. All right, so I've been reading for 16 years. This is my 16th year reading for people, and I have read for people in different ways, and different styles at different times. So I've done pretty much every kind of type of reading over time that there really is that I know of, at least in regards to tarot. So I've done, you know, I've done audio recorded readings, I've done written readings sent by email, I've done phone readings, I've done in-person readings, which is how most people know me now. All different kinds of readings. I've done video readings too. I've done like readings where I uploaded it to YouTube. I've done it over Skype. All of that. So I want to talk to you all about my experiences with that and help. Blah, blah, blah. I was going to say hopefully, and then I was trying to say help, so it's going to come out as helpfully, which is a word. Maybe helpfully. Hopefully. give you some advice on reading for people, and, you know, what you might want to think about if you're thinking about reading for people. So, I started reading, well, when I very first started reading, it was for, you know, myself, friends, family, people of friends of the family, etc., getting my reading skills kind of up and going. So I read for people in person, but it definitely wasn't as a professional thing because I was like 13, 12, 13. And it was just really because I enjoyed doing it. But I remember that I used to absolutely love reading for people in person, and we would like get the little table out and do the cards, and then I would, you know, sit there with my little white book and read and say, okay, well, this is saying this, etc., etc., and then we'd go into it together. And yeah, I just always loved the feeling of sitting down with someone and reading cards with them. It was just really exciting to me, and very magical, and even now it still feels very magical to me. And I think that's because of the energy and the atmosphere. So I love the atmosphere that you can create when you read for people in person. And this is something that I get complimented on quite a lot at the shop. So I think other people enjoy it too. It's like having the ambiance, right? So like for me, I have a very specific way that I like to set up. And that's really thanks to Melissa at the Four of Wands, you know, having the room set up in a way that it's easy to create this feeling. So in there, I don't have the main light on, so I don't have a big bright light. I have I have lamps. I have 3 million lamps. So there's a big lamp in the corner, which is like a standing floor lamp, and it just makes the room feel really warm and cozy in the light. And then we have a selenite lamp in there. We have like a lamp that has a design on it, like a cat or an owl or something like that. And then there's also, I think, a salt lamp in there. Yeah, we just have like different lights and things, and then a little table that's set off to the side, and covered in a black tablecloth that has designs on it. Melissa sometimes changes the tablecloth out, which I really like because then we get to see different designs, but I love the black one. And yeah, we just sit in there and it feels really cozy. There's actually another room that's sometimes used for readings as well, at the shop now, but I always go in the little room, and it, to me, it feels good. I like it because it feels like a little, I'm going to say cocoon. Very on brand, Lottie. But it really does feel like a cocoon. It feels like a safe little space where you're held and kind of like supported and secure, and it just feels really good. And I find it's funny, I find that it feels very kind of separate from the rest of the shop. So to get to it, you walk through the shop, but it feels somehow like it's kind of like in a little bubble that's floating off to the side. And I don't know, it just feels very special and sacred to me, and it's a very special space to be held in. And tarot readings, you know, can get really emotional, they can get very deep, and they can bring up things that we were healing and all of that kind of thing, and they're a very healing thing to do. And so having a space where it feels very healing and small and kind of cozy and confined without being, you know, too small, feels really good to me. So I still really love reading for people in person. The shop really is the main place that I have read for people in person since moving here. And honestly, even when I lived in England, I mostly was reading for people online. Once I got into reading sort of more, you know, professionally and things like that. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But yeah, so I've been working at the Four of Wands now for just over a year. We just celebrated our 1 year anniversary very recently, which is super exciting. And we love you guys that come into the Four of Wands. You really do make it just an amazing place to be, and I just love it. But yeah, that is really the main place that I've had as like a steady. I come here every week. I know what I'm doing. I know the people, and we all fit and work really well as a team. And I love seeing regular customers, and I just love it. I love it. And it's so special to me. It's so such a special feeling. And so I love that. I love reading in person, and I love reading in person in a metaphysical store. So there's lots of ways to read for people in person. You know, you can do like parties, you can do fairs, you can do farmers markets, things like that. I did, before I started working at the farmers market, I did toy with the idea of setting up a little booth at the farmers market or, you know, something like that, but it just didn't come through. But for me, because I like to kind of take my time with people and be quite, not slow, but just steady, rushing around, I don't really like it. Like, I can do, you know, one or two busy events or things like that that are just kind of like there, and then that's done, and then I'm going to get back to my regular way of doing it. But I don't like to be busy and bustling all the time. I really struggle with outside noises, so I'm hard of hearing anyway, and if there's noises going on around me, I struggle quite a bit to be able to concentrate on what I'm doing. I can do it. I can concentrate. It's like I have to strain my ears, if that makes sense, to stay focused on the person. So I don't like to do that a lot, because it's very tiring. I can do it, just don't prefer it. But yeah, I love being able to go in that room, shut the door, you know, feel safe and have the person feel safe too. You know, we're in a public place still, but we've got that security and that privacy. And it's quiet. Like, I always tell people, I'm going to shut the door because it can get kind of loud and noisy if there's lots of people, and I don't want to get distracted. And I love that I can really dedicate and focus all of my attention on that person and what they're going through. What are you dealing with? How can I help you? You know, if you're in this room, you're paying me, we are here for you. We're here to help you. So I love being able to do that. I always wanted to work in a metaphysical shop as well, like ever since I was a kid. And I've talked about this a little bit, but I grew up going to the local metaphysical store when I lived in England, which was in Knaresborough. It was called the Rowan Tree. I will miss it forever. It was amazing. And I just loved it. And even as a little kid, I was like, one day I will work here. Like, I will work here. I will work in a shop like this. And then they closed down. I don't remember how old I was. And then there was a few other little shops like that. And I was always like, yeah, maybe I could somehow work here. And it never really came about. And then when I moved here, and, you know, I'd been here a couple of years, and then I met Melissa, and it was just divine timing. And just divine placement, I feel like. Like, I'm doing my dream job. Like, when people say, what did you want to be when you were a kid? What did you want to do? I wanted to work in a metaphysical shop. And I do. So, goal achieved. Set your goals, kids. Because in 20 years, you'll get there. And if that ain't a Capricorn manifesto. Anyway. So yeah, I really love reading in person. So I'm going to start with that. I'm going to start with talking about that. Even though it's the thing that I've done less in terms of time, it's also where I have a lot of my clients, because I see a lot of people. So it's like, it kind of balances itself out. So reading for people in person, I've just told you what's good about it. the privacy, the one-to-one interaction. I love being able to see the person across from me. I love being able to see their reactions. Like, you know, do they pick up something? Like, do they have a little, oh, what about this? Like, when I'm reading, and then we can delve into that. Do they, you know, do they need comfort? Do they need support? Are they crying? Because that happens a lot in tarot readings, and I want to tell you, and I'm probably going to do another episode to really focus on this, but if you cry in a tarot reading, it's completely okay. I promise it's okay. It's very normal. It's very natural. Crying happens a lot when we release something. It happens when we realize something. It happens when we feel relieved about something. And, you know, tarot reading tends to do all of those things. So it's completely normal, natural. It's not weird at all. It doesn't bother me when people cry. You know, obviously, I don't want you to cry and feel sad, but I do think that crying is healing, and especially in that space. And so I always have tissues on hand. And I'm, yeah, no judgment ever at all. You don't worry about it. Also, I'm trained in acupuncture and reflexology. They're both energy healing. That also tends to make people cry. It just releases emotions. So I was trained at university how to deal with what happens and what to do when someone cries. So please don't ever feel awkward if you end up crying in front of me. Also, if it makes you feel better, I'm a huge crybaby. Not that you're a crybaby if you cry, but I shouldn't use that word. I'm going to stop saying that. But I cry a lot. I'm a very emotional person. So when I'm emotional, I cry. So kindred spirits, please don't worry if you cry. But that is a thing that I like about being in person, is you can see if you need to, you know, take a moment, give them reassurance, ask what's going on, you know, just hold space for them, be quiet, let them just take a breath and let it out. All of those things, you can really get the feedback too. Like, it's very organic, you know, it's like you can be talking about one thing and then they want to talk about something else, so you start talking about that, and it can just flow really easily like that. So that's something I really love about being in person too. What else to think about in person? It's a lot just talking purely from a money aspect, looking at business. It's a lot easier for people to tip you, because you're not having them pay for the service ahead of time, or at least that's not how we do it at the shop. You come in, you have your reading, and then you pay for it afterwards. And so it's easier for people to tip you, and a lot of the time I find people do want to tip you, but you know, you usually won't tip if you're paying for something ahead of time, because you don't know how good it's going to be, unless you're like a repeat person, a repeat client, customer. You're probably not knowing what you're expecting, so you're not going to tip. And the shop also just makes it super easy to tip, because it will tell you, you know, if you want to tip this much of a percentage, this is how much it is, etc. So it just makes it super easy to tip. I feel incredibly lucky, because my clients really are so generous and so kind. They pay for the reading, but they also tip me. So I feel really, really grateful for that and really thankful. And it is something that's easier when you're reading in person. If you have, here's another thing, if you have a place that you regularly go to, and it's a good fit, like I work in a metaphysical store, you know, if you work somewhere like a holistic wellness center or something like that, where readings and psychic, you know, guidance and spiritual guidance and things like that are a good fit, then it makes it easier to get business, because people are kind of open to that kind of thing when they're there, and they're also maybe looking for it, so they kind of go there looking for it and you're there. You know, you have a good you're there for a lot of different people to see. And then if you're there regularly, this is really important, you really have to be regular. When you do it regularly, people start to know you, and so you become like a fixture in that place. You know, when people come to the Four of Wands on Fridays and Saturdays, they know I'm there. So people will come in there looking for me, so they know I'm there. And that's such a good feeling. And then it also makes a real feeling of like security and stability for your clients, of every Friday, if I need her, Lottie's gonna be at the Four of Wands. I can go in, I can see her. You know, if I've got an issue, well, I'm just going to wait till Friday and then I'm going to go see her. So, and that's a really good thing. As someone who loves stability and security and also loves a good schedule, that is something that I love. It's like, I know what I'm doing. And as the person working too, I know what I'm doing. It's like, I know every Friday and Saturday I'm going to be there. I know what my time is. I've got regular hours. I'm really lucky to have that. And so I really, really appreciate that. And I know clients appreciate that too. But with that said, you do have to be regular. I find if I miss a week or, you know, a weekend, if I'm sick or something, no one's holding it against me. Like, clients completely understand. But energetically, it shifts something and it takes a little bit of time to get back into the flow of things again and to build up your clientele again. So if at all possible, don't skip days unless you really, really have to, because it will, I don't know why even, because the people that come in on that day that you're not there might not even be the people that are, you know, coming the next week when you are there. But for some reason, just energetically, it just seemed to shift things around. So, you know, try not to miss a day unless you really have to. So there is that. What else is there to say? Support. So this is really important. You have people around you and you have a support network around you to kind of hold you as the reader as well, as you're providing those readings. So, and I don't mean this in terms of you go and you talk about what just happened in the reading and all of that. They're like, no, that's, it's confidential. What happens in that room stays in that room. It should stay in that room. That's what I think. You know, unless someone is going to hurt themselves or someone else, and then it's law that we have to tell someone, we have to report it. But regardless of whether you're saying anything about what happened in that room, you know, if you had a reading where it was very emotional, it was quite difficult, you got into some, you may, maybe some areas that need healing, you got into some trauma together and you looked at that and it was a really positive, great reading, it's still quite heavy and it's still, you still sometimes need to come out of that room as the reader afterwards and have a glass of water and sit down and have someone, you know, come and just talk to you about, hey, what do you think about this new book, or what do you think about this new deck, and just not talk about the reading at all, but just talk to you and reground you. Because if you're doing it by yourself all the time, you don't really have anyone to provide that grounding element for you. You don't have people around you to, even having someone touch you can be really helpful, I find. So like at the shop, when we see each other, when we say goodbye, we always give hugs. And some of my coworkers will, if they think I need it, they'll just give me a hug too. And so it's like, I really appreciate that, because sometimes I just need someone to like have a physical touch with and be like, okay, yeah, I'm in a body, like I'm not floating off. Because if you're doing reading and you're doing psychic, you know, you're looking at psychic things and you're being using your intuition and things, that energy is all up in your head and it's on the top of your body. And if you don't ground and you don't get some sort of rest in between and some come back down to earth, you can very easily get off or in your head too much and feel dizzy or tired or, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So having people around you can be really great too. What are the potential things to watch out for, potential issues, I guess you could say, of reading in person? The main thing here is, and it's the same for reading online, so don't let it put you off, but you don't know exactly who is going to come through that door. And there will be some people who probably make you feel kind of uncomfortable. There's going to be some people that you can't read for because you can't get a handle on their energy, or they're closed off, they don't really want to, they're not really open to it, whatever. It happens. And like I said, that happens online too, but it's less of a thing. I've had it happen more often in person, which is to say still, you know, not probably even 1% of people experience that. So it's very small and it rarely ever happens, but sometimes it does happen that someone will kind of make you feel uncomfortable, or it just won't be a good fit and it won't be a good match. And I find that those things are harder to shake off when it's in person than if it's online, Because when it's in person, you're seeing them, you're interacting with them, your energy is interacting with each other. And so even if you say, which is, this is what I would do and what I think you should do, is say, no, I can't read for you right now because I can't connect with your energy, or sorry, I just can't read for you right now. Let's stop here. I'm not going to charge you, you know, all of that. Or I don't refund, I just stop the reading. Let's not get into that. I stopped the reading. But even then, it's like, that can take it out of you more. If someone, say, is feeling really negative about it and they just really don't like it, or there's someone who is just trying to come in there, bust your chops and say, this isn't real, you know, for one, hearing that hurts so much more in person. So I've, in touch wood, I've only ever had one negative review on my readings online, and it was saying that it didn't answer her question, and she still said I was super nice, so it wasn't that bad. I just said, like, it didn't answer the question. And then I've had someone sit down across from me and say, I think this is all fake, I think you're fake. And God, does it hurt so much worse in person. Because I'm not fake. Like, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was real. Honest to God, Goddess, universe, everything, I would not do this if I didn't think it was real and if I didn't really think I could help you. And I will say that to people. I've turned people away for that reason. I've said, you know, you seem like a really lovely person, but I really don't think this is what's going to help right now. So I'm not going to read for you because I don't want you to pay for it if it's not going to help. I want you to go and use that money. Go and see this person. Go and do this thing. You know, I think this is what's going to help. So, honest, hand on heart, I would not charge money. I would not do the reading, and I will not do the reading if I don't think that it's going to help, if I don't think that it's useful. But that doesn't mean that people are going to necessarily believe that, or if they are convinced that it's not real, you probably cannot convince them otherwise. And they will sit there and tell you, this is fake, you're fake, this is not real. And that's their belief, but hearing it, ego gets in there and it just hurts. There's no way not to. I don't know how to have it not hurt at all. I mean, you know, you probably could attain that level, but I'm not there yet. And so that is something that you have to deal with, is potentially kind of dealing with some criticism, because you can't please every single person. You're not going to get on with every single person in the world, and that's okay. That's fine. I don't hold it against the people who don't believe in it. You know, if you're a skeptic and you don't believe it and you don't want to, then that's completely okay. That's fine. I would ask that you don't come in for a reading, because I don't understand why you would. And I wouldn't say that to a client in person, but it does make me wonder. I'm like, what are you? I don't. You know, are you trying to, like, prove me wrong? Because, I mean, I still believe it, because, like I said, I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe it. So you're not proving me wrong. You're kind of just wasting your own time and money, which sucks. Like, don't do that to yourself. Go do something fun. But anyway, whatever. You know, people do it, I guess, sometimes. Yeah, it just sucks. Like I said, it doesn't happen very often. The vast, vast, vast 99.9% of people that I've ever experienced, either online or in person, are there because they want to be there, they want to do the reading. If they don't believe in it because they've never done it before, they've never experienced it before, they're at least open to it. That's what I say to people, just have a little bit of willingness to be open to the possibility. You don't have to believe it, you know, that's completely fine. And you can walk out of that room not believing it too if you want to, but I really hope that I can help you in the interim. I hope the reading can help you however it's going to help. But anyway, I found that in person it works, because people will, if they're coming in, so the way it's set up for me too, I'm not right at the front of the store. I'm kind of like a little secret nugget just hidden away in the back, because I spend a lot of time in my room just resting if I'm not actively reading. But people have to come in, ask for a reading, be told the whole thing of, like, it's $1 a minute, it's a 20 minute 20 minute minimum. You know, here's the folder with all, I have like a menu basically, because I'm that person of what type of readings I have. So they've generally got an idea of what they want and they're open to it by the time they get to the back and see me. So most people, when they come to me, they've already got the information, they're already ready to do it and they want to do it. So generally not an issue, but it can be, because there's always some people that are kind of going to slip through somehow and kind of, yeah, just be aware of that. What else is there? A potential thing to be aware of is I found that in person, pricing is much more dependent on like pricing of people around you. You really have to do more like competitive pricing, which I mean you do have to online too, but there's a much wider variety online of different prices. So for me, like, everyone at the shop charges $1 per minute. We used to do a 15 minute minimum. I talk a lot and get really in depth in a reading, so I found that wasn't enough time for me. So now it's 20 minute minimum, which I asked for, so now we do 20 minutes. So I know in a reading, you know, generally I'm gonna make that money, but online you can potentially charge more than that. I do charge a little bit more online, which partly I talked about, just because it's accounting for online fees and things like that, and then also just for timing, because in person you come in, you can record it if you want to, you can write notes if you want to, but I'm literally just doing the reading, so it's very kind of cut and dry. In person, whereas when I do it online, I have to record it, I have to send that file, I have to take the pictures, I have to edit them, I have to send that, etc. It just takes more work, so I charge more money. Not significantly more, but I do charge more. So there's that to take into account, that you do have to price based on the other pricing. You know, if I'm charging $1 per minute in the store, and then you're charging $5 per minute, then it's not to say that you wouldn't get people, because I think you would, but you'd definitely be competing and you probably would get a lot less people, you know? So you kind of have to pay attention to what's the pricing, and you might not be able to price quite the way that you would if you were doing online. You might not price as much as you would online. Having said that, depends where you are. Some areas, you know, you would probably price higher based on where you are. You know, if you live in New York, you're probably going to price differently per minute than I would price living in Arkansas, because of the cost of living, etc., etc., etc. So there's that to take into account, but you kind of do have to price more based on like people around you. At least if there's a lot of people doing it in that area, if you're working in a shop where there's multiple readers like I do, we don't all read on the same day, which thankfully, because that would be difficult, I think, for me. But we kind of do price the same as each other. And I guess it depends on how you're reading too. If you're reading in a store versus if you're reading, you know, you set up by yourself and you're reading. But I'm talking about reading, I guess I'm talking about it mostly in a store perspective. If you're doing it in person by yourself, I haven't done this I haven't done it. I've read for people at my house, you know, if it's like friends, if it's family, if it's something like that, but there's always people around. I do not like to read for people in person on my own. That is a big safety thing there, so please take that into account. That's a huge thing. If you don't have a place to read, and you can't, you know, rent a space, which I'm really lucky because of the way that we rent our space, so I feel really, really blessed for that. But some places will ask you for like a set fee per day that you're there, regardless of how many people you see. And so if you see one person and they give you $20, but your rent is, you know, $50, then you're going to be out money and it doesn't matter. I feel very lucky that I don't have that situation. But a lot of places do charge like that. So reading by yourself, you can just, you know, roll it into house and all of that stuff, but it's more dangerous, I think, just because you don't know. You don't know what's coming in there. It's quite Yeah. I admire people that that do it, because people definitely do it, and it does work for some people, but I don't know, it would make me extremely nervous, and I would be worried about it, even though, you know, most people that I've ever met are just have the purest hearts, and there's no intention at all there to do anything, but, you know, you just don't know, so it just would make me nervous. So that is really all of the things that I can think about for reading in person. You do have to take care of more, you know, bodily functions, drinking water, getting dressed. You know, it's like if you're reading online, you don't really have to get dressed. I don't always get dressed when I'm doing my reading. Sometimes I'm reading in my pajamas. You know, if you're going into a brick and mortar place, you kind of have to dress, you know, you don't have to dress like put makeup on and all of that. I've only just recently started wearing makeup at work, but you do have to dress nicely because of the old social expectation, and there are some expectations. Yes, a lot of people wouldn't probably not want to get a reading from someone in jeans and a t-shirt, which is, does wearing jeans and a t-shirt make you not psychic? No, not at all. Does wearing jeans and a t-shirt make you not able to read? Again, no. But there is expectation, I think, of what a reader looks like. And so that can be a thing. You kind of do have to, you know, go a little bit more with the social expectation. Then if you're at home, you can do whatever you want. You could read naked, if you know, for all anyone knows. It's like, that, how's anyone going to know? But, you know, in person, you got to wear your clothes, you got to look nice. And then, okay, one last thing about reading in person. Social interaction. So, I am naturally a very shy person. And I tend to feel a little bit awkward speaking to people one-to-one, except as a reader. I don't know what it is, but I get in that room or I shake hands with that client and suddenly I'm like, you know what, I feel good. And that wasn't like a straightaway thing. When I first started reading at the shop, I felt super nervous. My hands were shaking. Like, it took me a while to build up confidence. But you do build up confidence. So if you're nervous about reading, actually reading in person can be terrifying at first, but will probably actually be good for you in the long run, confidence wise. Because now I don't get that really. I feel confident, I feel safe, I feel good. I've got my way of doing it and I do it. But if you are someone who's very socially anxious, very nervous, and you don't find that just, you know, talking to the person and kind of like, if you don't have that thing where you get over the hump and then you're okay, then reading in person might not be for you, because people, you have to have that face to face, you know, and that's okay. If that's you, don't feel bad. Don't worry about it. But wow, this is like 47 minutes long so far, and I'm still going to keep talking after this. So this is just going to be a long episode, folks, but I will be back after the outbreak. All right. I talked so much that I felt short of breath, and I have asthma, so it's not that weird, but still, I talked a lot just then, and I'm about to talk some more. Right, so before the break, we talked about reading in person, good things about it, things to, you know, be aware of, possible challenges, etc. We're going to do the same again for online. I'm going to try not to make it as long, so let's just see what happens. Alright, so, reading online. I've been reading online for a lot longer than I've been reading in person. in terms of how I work, how I do my business mostly. So there's lots of different ways that you can work online. You can have your own private website, you can do it through social media. So, you know, people read through Instagram, they read through Facebook. You can have Facebook groups, you can do lives, you can do Instagram live, you can sell through Etsy, you know, all those different types of things. Shopify, I think, Big Cartel, etc., etc., Store Envy. There's a lot of different ones. And you can do it in lots of different ways too. So you can record it, you can write it, you can do a video and upload it, you can do it over the phone, you can, yeah, there's lots of different ways to do it. Sorry, my cat is like cleaning himself and he's really fat, so when he cleans himself he makes this horrible sound, and it's just, I don't want it on the recording. I love you, please don't do that. He's mad at me because I'm stopping him from cleaning himself. All right, that's fine. Anyway, yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. He's just not, just, could you not? Hey. All right. Oh, whatever. He is stubborn and determined, so I apologize if there's some terrible cat sounds in the background. Anyway. yeah, so you can do it in lots of different ways. But I count that all as reading online. I also count phone readings as reading online, just because it's not technically in person. So if it's on phone, it's on Skype, it's on video, I still class it as online. Some people probably wouldn't, but I do. I'm just going to class it as that to keep things easier. Otherwise it's just gonna get nitpicky, so yeah. So that is how I've been reading for a lot longer than doing it strictly, you know, in person. And so I also really love reading this way. There isn't a type of reading that I don't enjoy, because if I didn't enjoy it I wouldn't do it. But I enjoy it for slightly different reasons. So let's talk about what they are. So what are the pros? What are the good things about reading online? If we're looking at, I'm going to talk about mostly how I primarily read online, which is to do audio recordings, which is when I do like this, basically. I record the reading, and then I send it to the person via email. I send along some pictures of the cards I drew for them, and that's it. I don't write it up. I don't explain it in writing, because I used to, and I'll get into that, but I used to, and it is so time consuming for me, because I'm a pretty verbose person, I talk a lot, and I didn't want to cut that down, because I didn't want to cut things out of the reading that I felt were important, and I can talk a lot faster, than I can basically write it down. Even though I can type really fast, it doesn't matter, you know, I still, talking, it's easier for me. So I instigated that a couple of years ago now, mostly audio readings, and it is so much better for me. I love it a lot more, so it makes my job more enjoyable. I found that I was like, really, when I would get an order, I'd kind of be like, is it gonna be like an email reading? And I was like, you know what, I don't want to feel that way about my work, and I don't want people to think that I'm going to feel that way if they order something from me, if they book a reading, because it's a privilege to have someone book a reading with me and to share that space with them, and I don't want to put that energy into it. So rather than, you know, cringe when I see a reading because it's an email reading and I don't want to write it up, how about just not do that? How about just record it, you know? And now I feel way happier, so it's all good. That's the thing, you can always change things around. If this is your calling, if you love reading for people, if you want to read for people, you'll find a way to do it. But don't stick to something that you don't like doing, because I promise you will make the energy janky around it and kind of wonky and funky, and not funky in a good way. And it will affect your business. So just, if you really don't like doing something a certain way, like I do not like doing written readings, just don't do it. I promise you, there are people who will enjoy the style that you want to do. And it's the same way. Some people love doing written readings, they love doing email, and they don't want to talk to someone in person, they don't want to do the phone call, they don't want to record their voice, etc. They don't want someone to see their face. also completely fine. Ultimately, the reading, you are the channel for the reading, and I do think that your personality is important because people come to you for the way that you deliver the message, because they could get that same message technically from another reader and they deliver it in a way that it just doesn't click. So that person is attracted to your personality, but your personality comes through in a lot of ways. It comes through in your voice, comes through in, you know, the facial expressions that you make, the way you move. Also comes through in your writing. You know, it comes through even in the way you take pictures. So if you don't like doing it with your voice, you don't like recording it, go ahead and write it if you enjoy that. I like doing snail mail readings, which is like a written letter, and I need to put those back in my shop. but I love doing those. And for me, writing is not the easiest thing. I have some motor control issues that affect my writing. And also my writing tends to get illegible very quickly because of fatigue issues as well. So for me, snail mail readings they have to be kind of like just a couple, and not a lot. And I also don't write, you know, pages and pages. It's not like 10 pages, because that's too much for me. But I find like a one card reading done through the mail is so personal. I love putting it on pretty paper. I love including the card. I love making it special. You know, I love doing that. So it's not that I can't do that and that I don't do any written readings, but that is really the extent of what I can do for myself. So, you know, find a mode that you enjoy, but that's the pro, is you can do the mode that you enjoy. If you don't feel super comfortable in person and you want to do it kind of, they don't see your face, they don't hear your voice, even they're seeing the cards, they're just seeing the words you've written about the reading, here's what your reading's saying, etc., great, go ahead, you can do that online, you know. You don't have to do it in person. Like I said before, if you are very socially anxious, if you don't find that, like with me, like I said, outside of my room I can be a little bit shy and a little bit quiet. But once we get in that room, once I shake hands with you and we go into that room, it kind of turns on. If you don't find that that happens and you don't feel super comfortable, you might still be a great reader and you might still like people, you know, it's just you don't feel super comfortable doing it in person, in which case, yeah, like I said, online, great, do it the way that makes you feel comfortable. What's another thing that's good about it? Being in your own space, so you don't have to leave your own space, basically. You can do it in your house, you can do it wherever, you know, wherever is quiet and you feel comfortable, you can do it. I love reading at home, especially if I'm having a day where I don't feel super great, but it's not affecting my reading. So for me, on some days my health will affect my ability to tap in. It's not that I can't tap in with guides and things, but just it will make me really tired, so I don't do readings on those days. But if I'm just, you know, I don't feel like I could go out and be out in public all day, but I could definitely do a couple readings, or I could definitely fit this one reading in, I can do it. I can do that at home. I don't have to get dressed up, I don't have to put makeup on, I can be comfortable, I can sit on my couch, you know, I can do it in bed if I want to. Usually I don't, because if I'm in bed, it's probably I don't have enough energy to do it. But I have had times, I call these horizontal days for me, which just means I'm laying down most of it, I'm probably asleep for most of it, but I'm still with it enough at some points to be able to do some things. I have recorded in bed before, and that gives you that great freedom. If you are someone like me and you do deal with, you know, health issues, fatigue issues, and there are some days that you could set a little table on your bed and sit up in bed and read your cards and take your pictures and send them, etc., and then, you know, go back to sleep. If you can do that, great, because as long as you have the right energy during the reading, I think the setting is much less, you know, you're much less tied to a certain way to do it. You don't have to do it in a certain way. So I found that that really helps. When I was going through a really, like, quite a long horizontal period and I was laying down a lot, I actually, that's when I started doing like an abstract painting a day as well, because I could do it on my phone and with a digital app. And I loved it. It was a way for me to be creative when I couldn't sit up. But yeah, so there's that, you know, you can read like that. And if you don't use cards, so I do use cards mostly because it's a conduit. I can read without cards, but I think it's Melissa Sinova, who I tried to mention last week and I remembered her last name. She's one of the writers of the books that I mentioned, but she talks about cards being a buffer. So I find that too. If I'm reading for someone and they're having a certain thing going on, cards for me are a buffer. They take the energy and show me, and it feels less like I'm directly, like, I don't know how to put this, but without the cards, it's like the energy is coming directly at me, and that can be more tiring. So for me, I do use cards, but I can get things without cards. Anyway, what I was saying is, if you don't even need to use cards a lot, or, you know, tools, runes, whatever, then yeah, lay down and record it. Like, you don't have to. You can do it however you want to. What else is there? I find you can set your space a little bit more how you want to. So, you know, if you want to burn a certain incense, well, at the shop we can't burn incense because we share the building with lawyers on the other side, not heirs all together. So if we burn incense, they're going to get it. And, you know, someone might have asthma, so, or something where they're allergic to something, so you can't burn that, etc. Whereas in person, you can burn whatever you want. You can put your candles on, you can, you know, put your incense on, do what you want. Again, set your lighting up how you want it, set your room up how you want it. You've got complete control over it, so that can be really nice. Another thing I like with doing readings online is it's a bit more free on the schedule. So, for example, I could have someone that I read for at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I don't have another reading until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Some people would really not like that, but I sometimes do like that because it gives me a chance to rest and breathe. And if I am having a day where I'm a bit more tired, I could take a nap in the middle, you know, and that's completely fine. Whereas at work, it tends to be more steady, like, not necessarily always one after the other. Sometimes it is. In person, it can be, you can start and not stop till the end of the day, pretty much. You know, you've got to be more strict with yourself and, like, lunch and things like that. But when you're doing it online, you can, for one, you can schedule people to what works best for you, and then if you have got a gap, you can, you know, take a nap, you can go do errands, you can do your housework, you can do whatever it is, you can do your other administrative business stuff, you know, you can do more things because you don't have to take things to work with you to do, they're there with you. You can also have a much wider range in terms of when you read and your timing. So if you want to read at midnight, because there are some people who want to do readings at night, you know, that's actually can be quite busy. I don't do it because that's not, I'm tired. I'm much more of like an early bird during the day type of person. I'm tired at night and I don't want to read at night. So my latest reading I do is 7 p.m. But, you know, if you want to read in the middle of the night, you don't have to go somewhere. You can just get up and do your readings. You can also, you're not relying on other people to excuse me, open the shop or, you know, be there or whatever, run the till, whatever it is. You know, you're doing it all online. It's, you know, being handled for you through whatever way that you do it, through your, you know, credit card processor or PayPal or whatever it is. So you can just do it, you can get up, do it, you can go back to bed, or just whenever feels best for you. So you've really got more control on timing. You've got more control on where you kind of advertise yourself and also what you advertise. So, I mean, I'm saying that, take that with a grain of salt. You know, there's some platforms that don't like certain things. And I can't remember anymore what everything is, but say you do like spell work and things like that. Well, some platforms don't like that, some shops wouldn't like that, but you can do it online. So there's some places that you can do it. So you can kind of aim more at that. You can kind of do more, I guess, different type of work that you might want to, that a shop might not want you to do there. I don't do spell work really for other people, but that is a thing that some people do, and more power to you, that's great. So you've got more kind of control over that too, whereas if you work in a brick and mortar, you kind of have to fit with the standards of what they want, you know, to a degree. You obviously don't have to do something that you don't want to do or just don't work there. But if you want to do spell work and that shop says, no, we don't do that for people, you kind of have to toe the line and not do it. Whereas you could do it online, especially, you know, if you have your own website or something like that. You could do that, so you can vary your work a little bit more of what you do. What else is there? Reviews. So in person, it can be quite hard to get a review written down, whereas online, people sometimes, you know, it's easier to get reviews or testimonials. Etsy is not great for getting reviews, testimonials, because you don't have to leave a review on Etsy, and that means that people generally don't, because they kind of forget. So it's like, for me, I've had like over 200 sales since I opened in 2017, but I've only got 76 reviews, and they're not even all for reading. So it's like, you kind of run the thing there of where it's not so easy to get testimonials on some sites, but then there's certain sites, like eBay, and other ones that kind of send people a reminder, excuse me, to do the review, you know, so you get more of a review, whereas in person, unless you get people to write it down, you don't get the reviews and testimonials, and then other people don't see them either. But then you also get word of mouth more in person, I found. I have definitely had clients through word of mouth online too, so don't count that out, but it's more common in person. But there is that. You will get more reviews online that people can go and look at. And if you get good reviews, great. The downside of that could be you get not great reviews. And that's not always because you didn't do a good reading. To put this as nicely as possible, some people, when they get a reading, don't really know what the reading is going to do or not do. I've had someone say, well, I don't get a reading to know the past because I already know the past, I want to know the future. And I said, tarot doesn't really work like that. You know, it's like it can see possibilities, it can be even look at like what's the probability of this happening, but I can't tell you, yeah, you're going to marry Susan on this date of this year. Like, my ability doesn't work like that, and I don't believe in using it like that. But some people, you cannot explain that to them, and they will leave you a bad review because it didn't live up to what they thought it was going to be. So there is that factor. In person, they still might complain, but it's, I've not had anyone complain about it that I know of in person, because you can generally explain a bit more, and even if they don't really like it, they might be a bit less aggressive about it, I guess you could say. Some people, this is that like anonymous factor, or like the, you know, online factor of being a username, people can just leave really mean, aggressive comments that they would never say in person, because they're behind a computer screen. That's why cyberbullying is such an issue. But yeah, that is a thing that you have to think about. But having said that, again, I've only ever had one person not be happy that left a review with a reading. And it was still not a mean review. She just said it didn't answer the question that she wanted it to, which is, yeah, fine. I can accept that too. Like, if you're getting reviews, and especially if you're getting consistent reviews, I'm like, this wasn't what I was expecting, or this wasn't what I was told it was going to be, etc., then that's an opportunity for you to look at your, you know, writing, and how are you explaining this, and how are you explaining what you're actually going to do for them? Is there a way that you could communicate this better? You can always try and take criticism, no matter how harsh it is. Just try and see it as like, what in this are they actually telling me? If I strip out all the stuff that makes me feel bad and makes my ego hurt and all of that, and it makes me feel kind of like attacked and all of that, if I strip all that away, what does this actually say? You know, if it says, I didn't get what I was expecting, how can I explain better what to expect? Maybe I'm not explaining that super well. Maybe it's not clear enough. Maybe it needs to be clearer. You know, so it's always an opportunity, but that is a thing that can come up. What else is there? Pricing. So yeah, like I said before, we already talked about this a little bit, but you can set your pricing differently. And generally, from what I've seen, people can charge more online than in person, from my experience. And that's one-to-one reading. It's not like doing events. It's not, you know, going on TV and doing something or whatever. I haven't done that yet, so I don't know. But, you know, just for a standard reading, you could charge more, and have more of a steady client base. But I think that just depends on how much you build it up. You're not going to be able to do that straight away. You kind of do have to build up your pricing, which, I mean, it's the same for in person, I think, because, you know, if you were charging, I don't know, I'm trying to think, but people need to learn about you first. Yeah, so you need, you know, you need sales, you need reviews, whatever, for people to trust that this is good and pay the money. But I have seen people online charge a lot more money than I charge and have regular clients. So it's definitely doable. It's definitely possible. And I am not here to judge how much someone charges. I have more of an issue of people undercharging than overcharging. Because overcharging, it's like, I don't know exactly what they're charging for. And I think valuing ourselves is really important. And there's someone for every bracket of price. So, you know, your price might be a lot higher than mine, but that's, I don't have an issue with that. You do you. Great. Awesome. Have, you know, I wish you an abundance of clients, because it doesn't affect me. The people that are coming to me for a reading and it's my price are probably not going to that person for a reading at their price. And they have people at their price that are happy with that. And there's people who wouldn't pay my price. So it's like, yeah, it's, there's space for all of us. There's plenty for all of us. There is an absolute abundance of people. We don't need to be, you know, competing and being mean to each other and all of that. Let's not bring each other down, because it's completely not necessary. Anyway, having said that, yeah, underpricing. Did I talk about pricing already? I feel like I need to do an episode on this too, of please don't underprice yourself. This is an issue online though, is you are going to be competing with people that are either doing it for free or doing it super cheap. So I don't think, how to put it, you should charge for your time and you should charge for your effort, you should charge for your expertise. If you are reading for people and charging money, you should be good enough at it that you should be charging enough money. Does that make sense? Do not undersell yourself. Because here's the thing. If you undersell yourself, you're going to burn out. You're not going to make enough money for yourself. And you're also kind of doing damage to the whole industry, because you're making it so that people undervalue the service as it is for everyone and then don't want to pay the people that are charging more, you know? So it's like, you don't have to charge what I charge if that price makes you uncomfortable, though I would encourage you to look at why it makes you uncomfortable, because that could be an issue with not valuing your work enough. But if you do like a Celtic cross for like $5, which I've seen it for less, it's the person is not valuing that information enough, and they're also not valuing other people's readings enough that charge more for that. There is no way I would do a Celtic cross for $5. I would probably charge $60 for a Celtic cross, because it's going to take me, you know, it's not going to take me 5 minutes. If I base my thing on $1 per minute, I cannot do a good Celtic cross in 5 minutes. I'm not going to charge $5, but there are people that do it. I will say that when you're starting, you have to build it up. But here's what I say to people. Trade readings, do free readings, find groups, find Facebook groups to trade readings, do free readings for people, do free readings with your friends, do free readings with your fellow readers, etc. Don't charge until you feel comfortable charging, and then when you do start charging at the right price. Don't ramp up like $5 and then don't do it, because it's way harder to price up than it is down. And if you start at $5 and then you're going like okay, now I'm going to charge $30, $50, whatever. People are going to go, well, I just paid you for that at $5. Why should I pay you this? And you're going to have to get completely different clients. So don't do it to yourself. Please love yourself. I love you. I want you to make money because you deserve to. If you're doing readings and you're giving a good reading, you're doing a service, you're helping someone, please charge money. Okay. Anyway, got off on my horse there. But yeah, so you can charge different amounts of money, but you are competing with people that are doing it for free or less money. There's also a lot of readers online. Look up tarot reading on Etsy. There's so many people, and you're not just competing with other people, you're also competing with the way the website works, the algorithm or whatever, if we're doing it on social media, the SEO, all that stuff that's behind the scenes and isn't even directly related to, you know, the words that you wrote or how good you are at reading. You're competing with a lot more people. That can be an issue. Over time, you can definitely build up a good clientele, you know, and having a good presence online and things like that. But it's a lot more work. So that's partly why I charge more money online too. It's because I'm not just charging for this reading that I'm doing. I'm also charging for the time I had to spend uploading it and the time I had to spend promoting it and the time I had to be online on Instagram to tell people that I'm still here, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And that's just kind of how the internet works right now. So it's part of the job. You know, your job as a reader, if you go into a shop, is really turn up with your cards regularly, do the reading, get your money, go home, do your taxes, you know. Whereas online, you're wearing all the different hats. You're not just doing the reading. You have to be accountable for everything else too. So that can be a pro if you enjoy it. It's not necessarily a con if you don't super enjoy it, but it's work, you know. But if you hate it, then it's not the job for you because it is work. You have to do it. You're not, there's that thing of like just expecting people to just find you and come to you. And certain people will just be led to you by the universe, but you have to put yourself out there first. Like, you have to be able to be seen for them to see you, or your energy has to be out there for them to pick it up and come to you, you know. So you kind of, you got to put the work in. It's not effortless, which brick and mortar isn't either, but just there's something about being there in person that means that you just have to not work less hard, but you know, you've got less things that are going on that you have to be thinking about as you're doing it. And then, like I said before too, working on your own, sometimes it can be great. You definitely set your own, you know, rules. And for me, I'm an independent contractor when I work at the shop, so you know, I work for myself basically. I just have I'm really blessed to be welcome there and to have a great agreement and all of that. But I set my own price. I could change my price if I want to, when I want to. I could change my hours. You know, I can dress as long as, you know, within reason. I can dress however I want. I can have tattoos. I can do whatever, you know. And I don't want to work for someone again. I don't want to go work a job where I work for someone, which is, I'm not saying that as in there's anything wrong with that, because people do that all the time, and that's completely each person's choice. For me, I do not like it. I love being able to do my own thing. I'm very independent. I like having my own ideas and being able to do that. I like designing my own things, choosing the pictures, taking the pictures. I like to be in control of my work, and so I don't like working for someone else. And I like to see the money that I make, you know, which is, there's nothing wrong with that either. Whereas there's so many issues with like working, especially here in America, where, you know, you put in all this work and you get this amount of money and it doesn't feel fair. Like, yeah, I'm not even going to get into that because I'll just go off on a huge rant, but I'm ranting today. But yeah, so I like working for myself. Having said that, some people don't. I've talked to Chelsea and she is so much happier working with other people generally. I'm working for someone and having this thing of like, okay, this is what you need to do, and you're coming into this place and you're working for someone with a team, then setting her own work, because she kind of struggles with that. Whereas that's great for me. I don't want to go into a workplace. Generally, the shop doesn't count for me because it feels different. I don't want to do that. I'm too bossy and I like my own things too much and I don't want to share. No, that's not true, but I want to direct my own work. So if you love being entrepreneurial, you love directing your own work, online work can be great. If you don't, it's going to be harder. So that's something to take into account too. And then what else is there? Not being in person. Okay, so not being in person can be good because it can be less tiring, just because you're not having that energy exchange. And I love my clients and I love reading for people, but by the end of a day, I'm tired because I've had that, I'm talking constantly, I'm, you know, on all the time, and I'm sharing energy, so it's just more tiring. Whereas reading online, I get less tired because I'm not directly there. So that can be a pro. It can be, you know, it can be a potential challenge too, because you're not seeing them in person. So that's one thing that I don't like sometimes in reading. Sometimes I like it because the person gives me a question and I focus on that question. I answer it. I give all the insight on that thing. And then that's it. It's clear. It's concise. It's done. But then the person can't just in real time come back to me and say, you know, well, what about this thing? Unless it's on the phone or something like that. But if it's recorded, we kind of got to go off that, you know, what's already been said. So that can be an issue, and that you don't get that face-to-face, you know, back and forth, which I really like. But sometimes I'm happy that I don't, you know, that I'm sending you my recording and then you can, you know, email me back and point something out or tell me how you found it, was it a good experience, etc. So that changes for me. Some days I love it, I would prefer to be in person. Some days I prefer to record it and send it, and have, you know, a little bit more control there. So yeah, it's both for me on different days. What else? Can't think of anything else. All right, I'm sure there is something else. I just don't remember what it is. So I'm going to stop there because this second part is already half an hour long and the other part was like 50 minutes long almost. So this is going to be a jumbo episode. But I hope this is helpful and useful. I hope it helps you if you're, you know, figuring out if you want to be a reader or how you want to do it. If you have questions, you know, let me know. I also offer now a consultation session, so a professional consultation, which is if you want to talk about business with me, if you want to bounce ideas, if you want some advice personalized to you, if you want me to, you know, look at things for you of what you've already got and suggest things, you can now book that in my shop. I think it's half an hour and an hour long session, and we do that over the phone. So I'm losing my voice, but yeah, we can do that now. So if you know, ever want to come to me for professional advice and guidance, then I'm more than happy to do that for you. That is how you do it. It's in the Etsy shop. Just to reiterate again, any reading, any service in the Etsy shop, not including the cards. No, including the card. Is it including the cards? Yeah. If you contact me via Instagram, Facebook, which is at the Sacred Cocoon, or email me, thesacredcocoon@gmail.com, and you want to pay through PayPal or Venmo, I'll take 10% off the price of whatever it is, or your total order, because, like I said, I price it up for Etsy because of Etsy fees. So, yeah. Professional consultation, any kind of reading, spirit guide portraits, card decks, etc. The only thing that I don't is the have a guided meditation, which is recorded on Etsy, and also the ebooks, and that's just because they're only $5. So yeah, I think $5 is fair enough. But anything else, you know, contact me and I will give you that 10% discount for booking. But yes, so I'm sending you so much love. Hope this is helpful for you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm going to go hang out with my little chickens now. and I will see you next week. Bye for now.